Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we've left behind the world of falsehood. King Aswapati has found the secret key of nature's change, and he's been projected into the paradise of the life gods. I think we read this whole canto. Yes, and we looked at it more closely, just the first page. So we're on page 234. And we stopped at line 34, so we're going on from there, from line 35 on page 234. This is King Aswapati's experience in the paradise of the life god. Patty, you'll start.
Advancing under an arch of glory and peace, traveler on plateau and on musing ridge, as one who sees in the world of magician's glass a miracle imagery of soulscape's speed. He traversed scenes of an immortal joy and gazed into abysms of beauty and bliss. Around him was a light of conscious suns and the brooding gladness of great symbol things. To meet him, crowded plains of brilliant calm, mountains and violet valleys of the blessed, deep glens of joy and crooning waterfalls, and woods of quivering purple solitude. Below him lay like gleaming jeweled thoughts, wrapped dreaming cities of Gandharva King.
Thank you, Patty. So this is Aswapati. He's advancing, moving forward in this paradise which he's entered under an arch of glory and peace. That's the sky above. And he's traveling, moving on plateau, high, flat areas, and on ridges. So he's high up. And it's as if he's seeing in a wonderful mirror, a miracled imagery of soulscapes flee. He's seeing something that that Sri Aurobindo describes in terms of landscapes. But in fact, these are countries of the inner being, of the soul, and they reflect moods and experiences of the soul. So he's passing through scenes of an immortal joy and gazing down into abysms of beauty and bliss. Before, he had been traveling in abysms which were completely different, full of darkness and ugliness and falsehood and suffering. Now he looks down into these deep valleys and spaces of beauty and bliss. All around him there was a light of conscious suns. This is not a material world. This is a world of consciousness, the consciousness of delight. And there's more than one sun, and an atmosphere, a brooding gladness of great symbol thing. And as he moves on, we don't know quite whether he's walking or somehow floating, but as he moves on, it's as if the scenes rush up to meet him. To meet him, crowded plains of brilliant calm, lit up by the light of those conscious suns. And there are mountains, and there are lovely violet valleys of the blessed. Violet, we saw earlier on that this color violet and purple, these are the colors of the vital heavens, the life heavens. Deep glens, this is a word meaning a wooded valley. Glens of joy, and in those glens there are waterfalls singing gently, soothingly, and woods of quivering purple solitude. These are these words that Sri Aurobindo evoked for us in Canto 3. And still further below him lay, like gleaming jeweled thoughts, wrapped dreaming cities of Gandharva kings, in the lowland, these wonderful, beautiful cities where the Gandharvas live. These are the poets and musicians of the subtle worlds. singers and yes.
I am completely lost. We are in hell. We just came out of hell. Yeah. Survived in hell. Huh? Now we're in this wonderful place, heaven.
Paradise.
We
are following King Aswapati and his journey through the worlds, and he'd gone right down to the very, very. He's in the world, and we're following him. Yes, and this is a new world. When he found that at the last locked subconscious floor, he found the secret key of nature's change, and everything changed for him. And he didn't have to move or anything. It was as if, having found that key, suddenly he's projected into this paradise of the life gods. And now that's what he's seeing and experiencing, and we are seeing it and experiencing it with him. So obviously in this paradise of the life gods, this is where these beings who are depicted in ancient Indian art as Gandharvas, Kinaras, Apsaras, all these wonderful, beautiful beings who inhabit these paradises.
Are they mythical?
We can say they are mythical, but about all these mythical things, I think Nolini has spoken about it. He said they couldn't have become myths to us unless they existed somewhere in another reality. Mm. So that's the reality that he's exploring now. And the clue is in the title of the canto. Turiya, you would be next, please. Line 49, Across.
Across the vibrant secrecies of space, a dim and happy music twitches toward, smitten by unseen hands, he heard, heart grows, the heart cry of the heavenly mistress pass, and voices of unearthly melody chanted the glory of eternal love in the white blue moonbeam air of paradise, the summit and core of all that marvelous world, above two high Elysian nameless hills, burning like sunsets in a trance of eve, as if to some new and such profundity, into a joyful stillness plunged their gaze. Their slopes through a hurry of laughter and voices sang, crossed by a throng of singing radiance, adoring blue heaven with their happy hymn, down into woods of shadowy secrecy. Lifted into wide, voiceless mystery, their peaks climb towards a greatness beyond life.
Thank you. So he can hear the music. He doesn't see the musicians, but he hears that music resonating in his heart, cry of the harps of the heavenly minstrels, the Gandharvas, and their voices of unearthly melody as they sing, chanting the glory of eternal love in the white, blue, moonbeam air of paradise. And the very highest level and the heart of all that marvelous world, there are high hills, Elysian, heavenly hills, and they are shining, burning like sunset in a trance of eve, as if the setting sun is lighting up snow-covered peaks. No, from a distance he can see these mountains burning like sunset in a trance of eve. And the slopes of those mountains, they plunge down steeply as if into some new profundity, something that has never been explored, but it's full of a joyful stillness around the base of those mountains. And the slopes, they plunge down through a hurry of laughter and voices. We can hear, or he can hear, the sound of the rivulets and the sounds of birds and animals and the sound of the musicians, the Gandharvas and Apsaras. And those slopes are crossed by a throng. There are many little streams and they are all singing each their own beautiful melody, but all of them are adoring those blue heavens above with their happy hymn. And they plunge down into these woods of shadowy mystery, secrecy, while the peaks are lifted up, 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 up into a silent, voiceless, mysterious realm, a greatness that's beyond life. We are in the worlds of life, but their peaks, the peaks of these sunset hills, they are pointing beyond life. Gali.
The shining beacons of the vibrant gods were still dim in their breathless harmonies. All things were perfect. All things were perfect there, that flowering time. Beauty was there, creation's making more. Peace for the sweet, voluptuous purity. Their love fulfilled her gold and rosy wings, and strength her crowned and mighty railings. Desire climbed up the swift, omnipotent flame, and pleasure had the stature of the gods. Dream walked along the highways of the stars. Sweet common things turned into miracles. Overtaken by the spirit's sudden spell, smitten by a divine patience alchemy, pain self compelled, transformed to potent joy, curing the antithesis twixt heaven and hell.
Thank you. Anything to ask?
I find this line interesting. Peace was a thrilled, voluptuous purity.
Yes, this is beautiful, no? What seem to be oppositions to us get resolved there. So these are all different aspects of the griefless life, no? Beauty, peace, love, strength, even desire. And desire has become all-powerful and pure, no? And pleasure. At the stature of the gods, dream walked along the highways of the stars. Sweet, common things turned into miracles. And pain, all that pain which had been in the world of falsehood, here it is as if it's been struck by a magic wand of a divine passion, an alchemy that turns it into something pure and precious. Transformed to powerful joy, curing this opposition, this contradiction between heaven and hell.
So duality is not existing.
Here there's a single reality of pure, griefless life.
But we're on the vital level?
Yes, we are still in the vital. This is the paradise of the life gods. This is the shining Edens of the vital gods. Yes, the life gods. We've been down to the depths, now where he's been projected up into the heights, and which in another passage he says are very, very close to the supreme delight, to supreme Ananda. Not quite, but it's just a miracles transforming line, transfiguring line, separates these highest levels of life from the supreme Ananda.
What relation does this have to Purusha?
To Purusha. None of these worlds could exist if they were not upheld by the Purusha or Ishvara consciousness and given expression by Shakti or Prakriti. Prakriti in her highest form. We can say Ishwari. So I'm sure he will tell us at some point in this canto about the relationship between Purusha and Prakriti in this world, in this paradise. But what we've been reading in the essays on the Gita tells us that everything that is manifested, whether it's a physical manifestation or a subtle manifestation, it is all an offering of the creative force to her own Lord, to the Supreme. So he's there upholding all this world, and this is the expression that he's asked her or given her the power to create. Does that answer your question? Purusha, we can say the conscious being. If that conscious being were not upholding this plane, it couldn't possibly exist. Francis?
All life beings are involved in death. For one living thought, achieved, a co-led conscious coach has only difficult that he. A burning gas is turned to ecstasy tools, a mass and death. We
you. All life's high visions are embodied there, given form so they can be touched and felt and experienced. All life's wandering hopes are achieved, fulfilled there. And then there's this lovely image about the honeycomb, her golden combs where the bees keep their honey. Honey is the symbol of delight. So life's golden honeycombs are being caught, enjoyed by the honey eater's darting tongue. The little, like the hummingbirds, you know, they have their long tongues and they sip the nectar, something like that. So it's being enjoyed, all her delight. All those burning guesses of life, the things that she envisages and hopes for, have been changed here in this paradise. They've become true, they've been fulfilled, to turn to ecstasy truths. Her mighty pantings implies effort. You pant, you breathe deeply if you're struggling for something, no? But those efforts of life have been still in deathless calm. Everything is fulfilled. Her immense desires, everything she wanted to achieve and fulfill, have all been set free by fulfillment. In that paradise of perfect heart and sense, of perfect emotions and perfect sense experiences, the delight of the heart, of feelings and of senses, in that paradise no lower note could come to break that endless charm of life's sweetness, ardent, intense, and immaculate, absolutely pure. There, in that world, life's steps are sure. Intuitively, they just go the right way. There's no possibility of error or mistake. Aswapati has been through such terrible experiences. It says, after the anguish of the soul's long strife, at length, at last, he found calm and celestial rest. And it's as if he's being enwrapped or possibly bathed in a magic flood of sorrowless hours. Healed were his warrior nature's wounded limbs, all those wounds he has received in the worlds of falsehood. They are healed in the encircling arm of energies, powers that don't allow any impurity, no stain, and they have no holding back, no fear of experiencing their own bliss. This is a very, very healing experience for Aswapati, this world of delight, purity and perfection, perfection of beauty, of peace, of love, of strength, fulfillment of desire and dream.
Aureate
means golden. Golden.
Golden?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
The honey is golden. The honeycombs are golden. Lela, would you read?
This means open to our old sense, amid miraculous signs and wonder he met the forms that divinized the sight, the music that can immortalize the mind and make the heart wide as infinity, listen and capture the inaudible cadences that awake the cold ear. Out of the ineffable hush, the fears can come, trembling with the beauty of a wordless speech and thoughts too great and deep to find a voice. Thoughts whose desire new makes the universe. A scale of sense that climb with fired feet to heights of unimagined happiness recast his being's aura and joy glow. His body glimmered like a skyey shell. His gates to the world were swept with seas of light. His earth, dowered with celestial competence, harbor the power that needs now and more to cross the globe, customs line of mind and flesh, and smuggle the dead into humanity.
you.
This is a kind of transformation that Aswapati is experiencing. First, he has the experiences. He's moving through these scenes that we are not able to sense and experience. They are forbidden to our pallid sense, the weakness and paleness of our physical sense capacity. Just can't experience those things. He's surrounded by miraculous scents, perfume and colors, wonder hues, and he meets forms that are so beautiful that they divinize the sight. They transform the sense of vision into something divine. Shobindo's written a sonnet about these other earths, which are so beautiful that they can transform us. So he hears, he listens to music that can immortalize the mind and make the heart as wide as infinity. Some earthly music can be so moving and have such an effect on us. We might feel something approaching this, but here it is much more intense. Our earthly senses aren't able to seize these experiences. He's able to capture, to hear what is normally inaudible, the cadences, the sequences of notes that wake up the occult ear, the inner ear. That inner ear hears these cadences coming out of the ineffable hush, the supreme silence of the unknowable. And they come trembling with the beauty of a wordless speech, a speech that doesn't need words to express itself, and thoughts too great and deep to find a voice. They are ineffable, they can't be formulated. Thoughts whose desire new makes the universe. And all this, these experiences, have an effect on his whole being, a scale of sense that climbed with fiery feet to heights of unimagined happiness. Sunilda has tried to express this in music, this upward mounting scale from one level of happiness to another, to another, to another. Sensual happiness that is heard and felt. All this has the effect of recasting, reshaping his whole aura, the aura of his conscious being, into a glow of joy, so that his whole body glimmers like a sky shell, something protective and full of light. There's also painting that tries to express that change. His gates to the world. Our gates to the world are the senses and the sense organs that enable us to perceive the world around us. So these, they were swept with seas of light, purified and lit up, so that even his earth, his physical matter, is dowered, endowed with, given some power of heavenly power, celestial competence. It's able to sustain and house a power that doesn't any longer, in that world, it doesn't need to smuggle Godhead into humanity across a closed customs line. Perhaps it happens sometimes, some experiences, some special gifts may smuggle Godhead into humanity, but it has to happen secretly. But here in this world, it just happens openly. There's no smuggling going on. So his body, his physical body, is no longer finding this supreme demand for pure bliss too much for it to bear. It's no longer shrinking from the supreme demand of an untired capacity for bliss. Our problem is that any intense experience soon becomes too much for us. So this capacity that has come to his body can now explore its own infinite. Where did we stop? I think we stopped with smuggle Godhead into humanity. Yes, Patricia.
Analinga for intelligence.
Okay, yes. Yes, Patricia.
The line is that he can
he listens to
cadences.
Yes, and he can hear the thoughts whose new desire new mates the universe. On the previous page, and we're in the light world, so this is like a little clue to what that this isn't the end. Because it said, all life's high visions are embodied. But thoughts.
They can go even further, yes.
It's like this is a crucial sign.
And those thoughts get expressed there.
Do you think he's describing what he imagined the experience of the psychic being coming to the front?
No, I don't think that's what he's... I think this is really about the vital, the life levels, the life force in us when it is purified and set free from the limitations of the physical body. We will come later to the soul world, to the psychic world. Still, we are here in the worlds of life.
Sky.
It means that this aura is like a kind of sky. It's not dense or...
This
is the inner vital, yes. But all this we've been reading was the inner vital, the godheads of the little life, you know, with all their ugliness and all that. Since Canto 3, we've been reading about the inner levels of the life, and there are so many of them. I think it's 6 or 7 cantos, no? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 7 cantos he devotes to these inner levels of life. And we can ask why, and I think it's because they affect us so much. They are so close to our world, and they influence our world and our experience and our thoughts and our behavior so much that it's very important for us to know about these different levels. But this is the last one. Now he will move on to mind. Yes, annulling the quarrel between self and shape, where spirit and flesh in inner ecstasy join, annulling the quarrel between self and shape. We can have inner experiences, but then the outer physical experience is something different and often contradictory, usually contradictory. But all that is wiped away, that the outer being also can experience all these wonderful inner sensations and beauties and powers. I'm sorry, I can't see who's sitting there. Would you read, please? Yes.
Which had no word from the supreme end of our entire capacity for bliss. Might that could explore its own infinite and beauty and passion and the depths, nor fear the truth of life identity, where spirit and flesh in inner ecstasy join, and all the quarrel between self and shape. It grew from sight and sound spiritual power, made the sense a road to which they intended. It thrilled with the supernal influences that built the substance of life's deeper soul. Earth nature to reborn, comrade of heaven. A fit companion of the timeless kings, equal with the godheads of the living suns. Mixed in the radiant pastime of the unknown, heard whispers of the player never seen, and listened to his voice that steals the heart and draws it to the breast of God's desire. He felt its honey of felicity flow through his veins like the rivers of paradise, made body a nectar cup of the action. In sudden moments of revealing flame, in passionate responses half unveiled, we reach the rim of ecstasy's unknown. A touch of supreme surprise, his hurrying heart. The clasp was remembered of the wonderful, and hints leaped down of quiet death. Eternity drew close, disguised as love, and laid its hand upon the body of time.
Thank you. This it, on line 125, it's this might which has come to him, this power, which makes sense experience a road to reach the intangible, what cannot be touched. So this power, thrilled with those influences from the highest levels that build up the substance of life's deeper soul, the inner true vital, So there's this kind of transformation. Earth nature stood reborn, comrade of heaven, a fit companion of the timeless kings, the cosmic powers, equaled with the godheads of the living suns. So he can mingle in the radiant pastimes of the unborn, the immortal beings. He heard whispers of the player never seen. This makes us think of Lord Krishna playing his flute, and we can never quite see him, no? But he does hear whispers from him and listened to the voice of that player that steals the heart and draws it to the breast of God's desire, the embrace of Lord Krishna. He felt its honey of felicity, the intense bliss that brings, flowing through his veins, through his veins of his body, like rivers of paradise, so that the whole body becomes a nectar cup of the Absolute. Nectar is the wonderful drink that gives immortality. And there are sudden moments of revealing flame, passionate responses, half unveiled. He reached the rim, the very edge of ecstasies unknown. Touch supreme surprised his hurrying heart, and he remembers the embrace, the clasp of the wonderful. And hints leaped down of white beatitudes, the worlds of transcendent Ananda. Eternity drew close, disguised as love, and laid its hand upon the body of time. So there's a touch from the transcendent worlds, a transforming touch. Would you read, please?
A little gift comes from the immensitudes, and measureless delight is gain of joy. All the untold beyond is mirrored there, a giant drop of the bliss unknowable, overwhelmed his limbs, and round his soul became a fiery ocean of felicity. He foundered, drowned in sweet and burning vasts, the dire delight that could shatter mortal flesh. The rapture that the gods sustained, he bore. Immortal pleasure cleansed him in its waves and turned his strength into undying power. Immortality captured time and carried life.
Way back in Canto 3, he was able to see these worlds of griefless life, but he wasn't able to enter them because his nature was still too close to our human nature. And whatever exploration he did, he never seemed to be able to cross that barrier. So he had to go down, 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 right, to the root of things in the life worlds to find that secret key of nature's change. And it's as a result of that experience that these other experiences have come, purifying, immortalizing experiences. Immortalizing even his substance.
So it's already a perfect world. The only trouble is it's not on Earth.
Right. Yes. Yes. There's already something like a divine life, but it's not here yet. And of course, it's not only life that has to be divinized, mind too. So.
I find this, the line on like 125, 126.
Yes.
It drew from sight and sound spiritual power.
Yes.
Made sense a road to reach the intangible.
Yes.
That the sense, there Alan Watts had written the book, The Doors of Perception.
Yes.
And spoke of the senses that were, our senses are always, they're like doors and they're always open outward.
Yes.
And that when you turn the doors of perception inward. You begin that more spiritual. It's like a way to advance. And that's what I was reminded of in that line.
Yes. And of course, that's what Aswapati was able to do at the end of book one, that somehow he was enabled to enter with his whole being into the subtle world and start exploring. So first of all, he was shown the whole range of the subtle world, and then from the bottom of the mountain, he started to explore them, all the planes of existence, one by one. So now he's reached this one, Canto 11. There are some more to go. But this is the end of this section on the life worlds, which started with Canto 3, beginning of Canto 3.
I was reminded of the earlier canto of the kingdom of the subtle matter.
Yes.
Because
It's very beautiful.
Perfect and beautiful in a way, but also it had some limitations.
Not only limitation, impurities. It only cared about form, beautiful form. And so it was ready to give beauty of form even to very hostile things.
So here too there is some, it's kind of divine in some way, but there's also some...
Yeah, very next line. This too must now be overpassed and left. He has to move on. Actually, this is one of the shortest cantos in the whole poem. He is... doesn't spend a lot of time in the paradise of the life gods, but still, it's a very important and purifying experience. This, together with this realization that comes at the end of Canto 8. So shall we start reading this, at least this first section of Canto 10? We could read. Yes. To founder, a ship that's been shipwrecked. It can't stay afloat anymore. It sinks. So it's as if his being is completely drowned in seas of bliss. Yeah. He can't escape that. We can start on the back row. I can't see who's there. Would you like to read, please? Page 238, Canto 10, The Kingdoms and Godheads. No, you don't want to read. All right. What about you? Please project your voice so we can all hear nicely.
This too must now be overpassed and left, as all must. The world itself, both true and one. Till that is reached, our journeying cannot cease. Always a nameless goal beckons beyond, always a sense the zigzag of the gods. Upward points the spirit's climbing fire. This breath of hundred-hued felicity and its pure-hearted figure of time's joy, tossed upon waves of flawless happiness, hammered into single beats. Distraction of the spirit's integer, caught into a passion of greatness of his dreams, his limited being, lifted, descended bliss, happy to enjoy one touch of him supreme, packed into its sealed small infinity, its endless time may world, out facing time, little outward of God's vast delight. The moment stretched towards the eternal now, the hours discovered, immortality, but satisfied with their sublime contents and peaks they seized, whose tops halfway to heaven, pointed to an apex they could never mount, to a grandeur whose air they could not live.
Thank you. Larry?
Inviting to their fine and exquisite fear, to their secure and fine extremities, this creature who hugs his limits to feel safe, these heights to climb, a greater adventure's call. A glory and sweetness of satisfied desire tied up the spirit to golden posts of bliss. It could not house the wideness of a soul which needed all infinity for its home. A memory soft as grass and faint as sleep, the beauty and call receding sank behind like a sweet song heard fading far away upon the long high road to timelessness. Above was an ardent white tranquility. A musing spirit looked out on the worlds, and like a brilliant clamoring of skies passing through clarity to an unseen light, large lucent realms of mind from stillness shone. But first he met the silver gray expanse, where day and night had wedded and were one. It was a tract of dim and shifting rays, parting life's sentient flow from thought's self-poise, coalition of uncertainties, there exercised uneasy government, on a ground reserved for doubt and reasoned guess, a rendezvous of knowledge with ignorance.
Thank you. Alice?
At its low extremity, very difficult to sway a mind that hardly saw and slowly found its nature to our earthly nature close and kin to a precarious mortal thought that looks soil to soil but knows not.
Thank you. Helmut?
Advancing carving from a woman's fashion focuses on another woman. Proving the theories of servitude, the reasons of the harmony of the animal. Ever constructing its warehouse of hope. Ever undoing the web that it has come. At twilight, the shadow sinks within itself, moving from minute to great limitless, a king dependent on his satellites, science that increases the equipment of the users, a judge in half possession of his proofs, a voice clamoring with unsolved his questions, an architect of knowledge, not of souls. This powerful bond slayer of his instruments thinks his low station measures colors of limits of his shape and of his name. And fortunately, humbled in his own sea, believes himself a spawn of mass, matters not, and takes his own creations for his course. Eternal life and knowledge meant to rise up from man's bare beginning to our climate. Out of earth, every smallness we must go. We must search for the nature of the spiritual world. An insect crawler creates our world as well. Our human state cradles the future world. Our mortal frailty and immortal force.
Thank you. Lorraine?
As the glow grew, top of the bell, through the world, where dawn sheen, gambled, made of dust and helped the day to grow and night to fail. Escaping over a wide and shimmering bridge, he came into a realm of early light. In the regency of a half-risen sun, out of its grave, our mind's fourth world was born. Appointed by the spirit of the worlds,
Mediate. I think we'll pause there. You like to read, please?
A master magician of measure and life has made an eternity for the current forms that the wandering spectator has watched, assigned a seat for the emotional stage, on earth by a vision of the arch intelligence, a body's energy put on matter to move. Proton and photon serve the imager eye. Change things into a physical world, and the invisible appeared as shape, and the unpowered world felt as mass, magic, perfect, precept, joy, the process, art, and meant to each object, and into human being. Ideals disguised in bodies of body, and by a strange atomic law, thank you.
effulgence. Thank you. Tomoko?
Little squares, cubes of worm, as figures substitute for reality. A mummified
mnemonic
alphabet. It helps the unseen force to read her words. Buried consciousness arose into, and now she dreams herself, human. All was still on the wild ignorance. Still knowledge could not come, and firmly grasped the huge invention seen as ignorance. A specialist of logic hard machine imposed its rigid archetypes on the soul. A of the inventor intellect, it cuts truth into manageable that each might of thought food, then new built truth main body by its heart. A robot is that and
serviceable
and whole, displays the spirit finer view of things. A polished engine with the work of none the true body found, soul.
Thank you. Dara.
Then, from the secret heights, a wave swept down. A brilliant chaos of rebel lines arose. It looked above and saw the dazzling peaks. It looked within and woke the sleeping god. Imagination called for shining spots that ventured into undiscovered scenes where all marvels lurk none yet as known. Lifting her beautiful and miraculous head, she conspired with inspiration's sister group to fill false skies with glimmering memory. The bright air fringed the mystery of the trees. Darkness grew nourished to wisdom's occult sun. Mist suckled knowledge with her luscious moon. Lynchman passed from living to waking breath. This worked the power upon the growing world. Its subtle craft, this health, the full orb blaze, cherished the soul's childhood and fictions that far richer in their sweet and rapturous scent, nourishing its immature humanity. Then the state of a dry straw of reason still, its heaped fodder of innumerable facts. Today fair on which today is dry. Thus streamed down from the realm of early night, ethereal feelings into gold worn furs, trooped into earth's cave heart. Its morning rays illumine our twilight's eyes. Its young formations move the mind of earth to labor and to dream and new create, to feel beauty's touch and know the world and self, a golden child.
Thank you. I think we'll stop there for today.
Thanks to Sherpin.